I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We thank you for Jesus, the price that he paid to redeem us. Again, we just ask that you would give us wisdom this morning. You'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us words to say, Lord, and ears to hear, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. All right, this morning I want to talk about these. It's talking about two foundations here. And in the verses prior to this, it talks about everyone, the people saying, not everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Jesus, the Bible talks about two things about faith and believing. The verse that says, whosoever shall believeth in me shall be saved. And then over and over again, it talks about the just shall live by faith. And what I want to talk about this morning is what foundation are we on? And the fruit of that foundation. Hearing the Word of God, and now I'm not just talking about picking out a set of rules and abiding by them. We've already understood that the Pharisees, they had the rules down, but they weren't hearing God. When Jesus came, they didn't hear God. They missed him. They had the book, they had the rules. And today we can do the same thing. We can have the New Testament, we can have the rules, and still not hear from God. And then on the other hand, we have people that just... the common idea today is that you just say a prayer, or you raise your hand, and you say that you believe that Jesus died for you, and you're saved. And so people are building on that foundation, that there's nothing they can do but just ask Jesus to come in, and then Jesus will just start changing them. And so people are building on those foundations. But what does it mean to believe on Jesus? What does it mean to have faith in Christ? The Bible gives us a verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So much of the time, what we try to do is to lean on our own understanding. When we're leaning on our own understanding and trusting in what we've figured out, then we're not trusting in the Lord. We're leaning to our own understanding. And that's something we can see. That's something we can feel. That's something we can have confidence because we have it figured out. And so we rest in that and we trust in that. But that's not the foundation that needs to be laid. Jesus said, "He that doeth the will of the Father," he hears the Father's will and does it. We look at the life of Jesus and we see that he wasn't just going through a list of rules to live his life. He lived the eternal life that was above everything else. These people, after he said these things, who is this man that... Let's get back to the verse here. It said, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What he was saying meant something. And the people understood it. Whenever we hear the word of the Lord, we have to respond to that. And I'm not talking about, I'm not doing this, and so, oh, I've got to start doing this. That's not the kind of response I'm talking about. I'm talking about a response of the will. Not just changing things on the outside. We have so much what we call synthetic Christianity. Synthetic is when we try to make something out of something that it isn't. A synthetic is something that looks like something that's real, but in reality, it's not. The only Christianity that is going to pass the judgment day is organic Christianity. Something that results from faith in the Lord, not the other way around. Organic Christianity is something that God produces in us as we respond to His will. We do whenever there's a will transfer that I'm not the Lord of my life anymore, He is. And then the fruit that grows out of that is a natural fruit. Today, people try to, through their own understanding, create a synthetic fruit. It's like we've all seen the basket of fruit, and it's all painted up nice and pretty, but it's made out of wax. It's not real. It's synthetic. It looks good, and they can even spray stuff on it and make it smell good. They could probably even shoot something in it and make it taste good. But it's still wax. It's synthetic. It's fake. And that's what Jesus is talking about whenever he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Organic Christianity is when one individual hears God and responds to Him on a personal level. You can't have church without that. It's impossible to have the Lord's church unless you have individuals that have chosen to follow the Lord. They've faced the struggles, the battles, they've come to the place where they said, not my will, but thine be done. They didn't find a bunch of rules and then just start applying them and living by them. They met the Lord on His terms. They gave themselves to Him. They see the things that are going wrong in their life, and instead of just trying to start patching all those things up, they surrender themselves to the Lord. People try to have a peace that's synthetic by taking all of the trouble out of the way, all of the problems out of the way. They're looking for peace. And so, in order to do that, we just take everything that would disturb us away from that. And then we just sit in this quiet little place, nothing disturbing us, and we can meditate and just have perfect peace because nothing disturbs us. That's a false peace. That's not the peace that the Lord offers. That's a synthetic peace because it's not real. Real peace comes because we have peace with God. And then it doesn't matter what happens to us. Through many tribulations, we still have peace with the Lord. So many people, religious people I know, don't have peace at all. There's no rest in their souls. And so they strive and strive to try to find this peace. They try to fix things all the time, and they never get anywhere. So many times people will confess. They call and they'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry for doing this." It hasn't changed a thing. They're not trying to repair anything. All they're looking for is some peace for themselves. And that's where it comes, that's the heart of it. To trust in the Lord and not lean to your own understandings, you have to lose yourself. You have to lose yourself. And that's where people aren't willing to do. They want peace because they want peace. And so they strive after this peace and they create all kinds of things that make it a synthetic peace, but there's no peace there. The very thing they're striving for is something for themselves, and that keeps them from having what they really want. People want rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest." How many people are striving today, fighting in their souls, looking for rest? They get so tired. And they just see, "Oh, I just got to have rest. I just got to have rest." And they strive after this rest, but it never comes. They're missing it. Because their focus is on them getting rest. Them getting peace. Instead of trusting in the Lord. That's how we know we're trusting in the Lord. When we can forget about our peace. We can forget about our rest. The term we've used is recklessly abandon ourselves to the Lord. Losing ourselves. Forgetting about ourselves. And just give ourselves to the Lord. And you know when a person does that, you know what happens? They're at rest. They have peace. And it's just that simple. So hard to get people to understand it. They're looking for it. They're searching for it in their own understanding. And Jesus just says, "Give up and you can have it." Let Him have your heart. Surrender your will. Just give up and you can have it. People are looking for an assurance. A salvation assurance. So in their own mind, they're trying everything they can just to find that little bit of assurance to know that they're saved. They just can't bear this question. "Oh, it's just so hard to know." I hear people that have confidence that know they're saved, and I don't have that. It used to be a problem. Now people don't hardly even care anymore, but it used to be a big problem in the Baptist and the Methodist and the Mennonite churches, the people who would preach about being saved all the time. The young people would question themselves constantly. And it was the job of the preacher just to make sure, "Oh, now you know you got saved. That old devil, he's just making you doubt." That's their main job, is just to try to assure people and give people this false assurance that they're saved. That is a shaky foundation. That's the foundation that He's talking about that won't build and won't stand. Jesus, whenever the rich young ruler came to him, he didn't try to assure him how to be saved. He told him, sell what you have and follow me. Don't worry about that. You know what? If he would have, you know what he would have had? He'd have had peace, and he'd had rest, and he'd had an assurance. Why? Because he's trusting in a salvation, or he's trusting in being saved? No. He's trusting in the Lord. See, the problem is when we're looking for assurance or peace or rest, that's what we want to trust in. We want to trust. I've got peace, so I can trust in that. I've got assurance, so I can trust in that. I've got salvation, and so I trust in that. And those things are not trustworthy. And until you delude yourself to think that they are, you're going to have conflict in your mind. See, that's the problem. People have conflicts in their mind, and they get tired of that conflict, and instead of just surrendering to the Lord, they surrender to the delusion. Then they don't doubt anymore. They don't question anymore. Then they have peace, but it's a false peace. Then they have rest, but it's a false rest. But there's people that are in the middle, that are still struggling. Still struggling, trying to find rest and peace. And they have to make a choice. It gets hard fighting that battle. So you want to just give up and just find some kind of rest and assurance. And they do. And that's delusion. When they could, just say, I'm not even going to worry about that anymore. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to leave my soul in His hands instead of mine. People looking for an assurance are trying to find it with their own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It won't work. There's no peace there. There's no rest there. Trust in the Lord. I remember one day, my family was going somewhere and I was miserable. I was miserable. And I didn't want to go. They went somewhere and I just stayed home and I spent all day. I just said, so I'm just going to pray all day long. And so I got by myself and I just started praying because I wanted some help. I wanted some assurance. And I finally got to the place where I realized that, do I deserve assurance? What I deserve is to go to hell. What I deserve is to be lost. I don't even deserve any of this. And the Lord said, follow me. And so I resolved. I wasn't even going to worry about whether I was saved or not, because the fact of the matter is, I don't deserve to be. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to lean on Him. He's just. He's fair. He loves us. Quit worrying about yourself and trust in Him. Follow Him. Read some verses this morning about peace. Luke chapter 14. I just want to show you something here. 14 and verse 4. This Bible doesn't say it like this way, but the King James, this explains it right here. Verse 14. Begin verse 3 just to bring you. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? The King James says, but they held their peace. Look what this says. But they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. He held his peace. He kept silent. You see what that word is? 18 and 34. Luke 18, verse 39, I'm sorry. Here's the Bartimaeus. There was a blind man begging out, and the crowd was going, and they began to inquire, what was this? And they told him it was Jesus of Nazareth, verse 37. And he called out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And King James says, but those who were leading him in the way, or those who were in the way, rebuked him sharply, telling him to hold his peace. Quiet and peace. Holding your peace. You've got something to say, but you're holding your peace. Peace comes. Peace comes when there's rest. Peace comes when you choose to follow the Lord. They held their peace. People are troubled. People have problems. People just can't get over something. People just, something just eating them alive. And so they try to overcome it. They try to fix it, but it doesn't fix it. You let it go. You release it. You trust in the Lord. You hold your peace. You stop it. You're silent about it. You just let it fall away. You quit worrying about it. Whenever we would hold our peace, we're quiet about it. You let it go. You don't just let it eat you alive. People let these things eat them and eat them and eat them and eat them and eat them. And then it's got to come out somewhere. But they think they're holding their peace. They think they're keeping it by just keeping it all covered up. But that's not the answer. You give it away. You hold your peace. You get your salvation just like you forgive someone. You let it go. You let it go. To find assurance. To find rest. Is to lose yourself and follow Jesus. People strive so hard to create these things. They strive so hard to create peace and rest and assurance and fellowship. But it's all synthetic. Whenever a person surrenders to the Lord, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You don't have to create that. It's there. We have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light. So many people have tried to just tried to get us to expand and make sure they always ask, well, how many different churches, where all do you have fellowship with? And they're all worried about it. Why don't you just try to have more fellowship with other churches? Why don't you just try? And we're not against it. But we don't have to have it. The reason is because we have fellowship one with another. We're not starving for someone else's approval. We have fellowship. And that comes individually. When an individual has peace with God, he can be at peace with his neighbor. When an individual has peace with God, then he can actually have peace with his neighbor. I think that's where the be still comes in sometimes. Whenever I have peace with God, I can let you have peace with God. When I don't have peace with God, I can't rest with your peace with God because I don't have it. That's what causes all the disturbances in churches, is because somebody doesn't have peace. And so they don't have peace, nobody else is going to have peace. Because they're going to be trying to disturb everything. That's what peace, not having peace, does. When you have peace, you can have fellowship one with another because you're walking in the light. And we can have fellowship with the Lord. And so we can have fellowship, not have to create fellowship. When you have peace, you can have peace with other people, even if they disagree with you. Even if you disagree with them, you can hold your peace. You can still have peace. But if I don't have peace, if I don't have rest, I can't understand how anybody else would. I can't understand how anybody else could have, because we see ourselves through ourselves. We see other people through ourselves. We judge other people through ourselves. And so I wind up seeing what's wrong with me in you. That's what Jesus was talking about whenever he talked about judging. There's something wrong with me. I begin to see that in everyone else all around me. But when you can have peace, when you have rest, you don't need that from everybody else. We love fellowship. But if you've got peace and you're all by yourself, you're just fine. You may long to be with a brother, you may long to have fellowship, but if you've got peace and rest and you're trusting in the Lord, you're an army all by yourself. You don't have to just go around the world just trying to find somebody that agrees with you to bolster your assurance. And when you get people that could be all by themselves, that have made decisions to follow the Lord and trusted in the Lord and been led of the Lord as individuals scattered out all over the world, when they come together and they have that rest, assurance, and peace, they can have fellowship with other people that have the same. Then you have a church. So many people are starving to death for fellowship right in the middle of a big crowd because they don't have it themselves. They were complaining about the people that were close to Jesus. The others were murmuring, the Bible says. Do you know what? Every one of those men were as close to Jesus as they wanted to be. They were as close to Jesus. You can be as close to God as you want to be. But there's one thing gets in the way. And that's yourself. We think about the idea is you deny yourself because you don't go drink beer and smoke. You're denying yourself because you don't do that. That's not denying yourself. Denying yourself is whenever your salvation doesn't matter. You're going to follow the Lord. Denying yourself is when your peace is less important to you than doing what God wants you to do. Denying yourself is when your assurance means nothing if you can do God's will. When we lose ourselves, we're more concerned about somebody else than we are about ourselves. But when we don't, that's the difference between helping somebody and actually being a help to somebody and just smoothing things over with them. Even though you may really be preaching about sin and telling somebody to quit doing something wrong, and you plaster it all over with some kind of plastic or wax and just seal that unrest inside. It comes from inside. I can write a book and just on a lot of people and tell them all their problems and say, here, you fix that, you fix that, and you fix that, and you'll be perfect. But that won't fix them. People think that they're really doing something because they're strict. But they're just fixing a fake thing, just like people who think that they have assurance because they raised up their hand at a revival meeting one time. It's still fake. It's still the wrong foundation. When you get on the foundation, the right foundation, you're trusting in the Lord. It's not my responsibility to look at your life with a microscope, or even to look at my own life with this microscope trying to pick off all the fleas. Trust in the Lord. Walk in the Lord. Obey the Lord. Follow Him. Rest in Him. Again, most disunity comes because someone doesn't have it themselves. Oh, I've heard people, oh, I just can't let something rest. I just can't hold my peace about something. I just can't keep silent about something. The reason they can't keep silent is because there's no peace inside. If there's a concern, if there's somebody just doing something wrong and needs some help, come along beside them and help them. Don't think you're helping them because you get your conscience eased because you told them off or you told them they were wrong. There's no love in that. There's no virtue in just being able to condemn someone because you are condemned. Find rest. Then you can actually have something to offer people. I've been in a lot of churches. There's a lot of doctrine. There's a lot of strictness. There's a lot of rules. There's a lot of nonsense. But there's not very many people that'll just help you. There's not much help there because I don't think people have much real rest and real peace in themselves. I don't know how many times I've heard about psychologists and that wind up just having to take handfuls of pills and they're pretending to help other people with their psychological problems and they've got them themselves. Jesus came and He spoke with authority. You know why He spoke with authority? When He talked about peace? Because He had peace. You know how He spoke with authority? When He talked about assurance and rest? Because He had assurance and rest. You know how He talked about authority? When He talked about God and His mercy and He was able to forgive and to help and to lift people up because He had it. And the people who didn't hated him for it. They hated him for it. I could go down the list of rules. I could go down the list of the teachings and say, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. There's no help in that. There's no help in that. Anybody can do that. I could be as hard on sin as anybody. I can talk about being strict and how correct everything ought to be as anybody. But there's more to it than that. And people are missing it. People are missing it. Constantly trying to keep their conscience clear. Because it's cloudy, it's black, it's dirty, it hurts all the time. So they've got to go around confessing every little thing they do to give them a little comfort and a little ease. But it won't be still. It won't have peace. It won't rest. And so they search for more rest. And they search for more peace. Instead of just giving it away. Giving yourself away. Recklessly abandon yourself to follow the Lord. That isn't going to fit a mold. That isn't going to fit man's approval. That isn't going to fit somebody who leans to their own understanding. Jesus didn't. Jesus trusted in the Lord. He did the Father's will. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen to him. He wasn't worried about those things. He left all that in the Lord's hands. Did he hurt? Did he struggle? Did he have a hard time? Yes, he did. But he, deep, deep down on the foundation, he had rest. He had peace. The storms just blowing all around him. Maybe getting frustrated sometimes, but deep down there's peace that'll carry you through. It's there. Religion won't fix it. Strictness won't fix it. Not sinning won't fix it. Trust in the Lord. And I'm not saying trust in the Lord and live however you want. I'm saying whenever you follow the Lord and you become part of His Spirit, you're at one with His Spirit. You'll love the things that He wants. You'll do the things that He wants done. There'll be rest there. There'll be peace there. And you can live this life like Jesus did. Walking through it. Not worried about all the strictness and all the rules and who's letting this slide and who's letting that slide. You have to choose to follow the Lord yourself. And when you do, follow the Lord and lose yourself. Do what's right. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Trust in the Lord. You see, that's one thing that we miss. Trust in the Lord. Are you saved? You going to heaven? Is that what you want? You want that assurance? You want to trust in that? You won't. You trust in the Lord. You lose yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Then you don't even worry about it. You know what that is? Rest, peace, assurance. You don't even think about it. You know what that is? Rest, peace, and assurance. And it's just there. It's not something you pursue. It's not something you seek after. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's something that God gives to those who follow Him. And it's there. And where it isn't, it don't matter how holy you think you live. It don't matter how strict you think you are. It's not there. And any that you create temporarily is false. Trust in the Lord. Rest in Him. Not what you're going to get out of it. So easy to get sidetracked. What I can get out of this. What it's going to do for me. But that's a dead end road. Lose yourself and follow the Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We just ask Your blessing, Father, upon these words. Thank You for them. Help us, Lord, to follow You. Lord, that Your peace may be upon us, Father. Forgive us where we fail You, Lord. We know there are many. Give us courage to get up, follow You again, Lord. Again, we thank You. Jesus' name. Anyone have anything you want to share? Yeah, one of the things that's often overlooked, envy. That's an ugly thing. And it does ugly things, all in the guise of being holy. But nobody ever mentions that. It's just kind of a under the weather sin. It causes all kinds of problems and wreaks all kinds of havoc. How many people want to be the holy one, the holy guy, the Moses? And so they tear down everybody that looks a little bit ahead of them. Everybody wants to be the preacher. It's easy to tear down the one that's there so that you can wish that you could take his place. But when you have peace, like Kevin said, you don't have to do that. You're following the Lord. Sometimes following the Lord's being the preacher. Sometimes following the Lord's not. Sometimes following the Lord is just being the janitor. And following the Lord.
these things about him with even greater assurance. Actually, he enjoyed to think that his followers were going to do greater things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thanks the Lord.
People love the living God. And to